Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Hope you poured a full cup here, Dana.
I'm already working on the second cup.
Wow, you've been up early.
Yes.
I think yes. I was up at, let's say, 7:59 today.
Okay.
Getting all the computer stuff up going, oh, no, Dana's going to get on the show before me.
I'm ready. And sure enough, there I was.
Yes, you were.
For you.
Yes, you were.
Uh-huh.
So how was your weekend?
It was pretty fun. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. You know, watch scary movies with mom.
Oh, that's right. Halloween time, everyone.
Yes. Uh-huh. And it was pretty cool. Pretty quiet.
Yeah.
How about you for yourself?
Kind of quiet. Didn't really, you know, the weather change is helping.
Oh, yeah.
You know, open up the patio doors, get some sun.
Really nice.
Get some breezes, stuff like that. And thankfully, you know, with the major sports in L.A. Winners, all the celebrations are done for a while.
Not on my side of the town.
Oh, no. I was saying, that makes it quieter.
We are still going.
Yeah, no. I think my part of town has run out of fireworks at this point.
Nah, we have a surplus. So, you know, we are, like I said, we're still going strong every night. And for some reason, always after midnight. I don't know why.
Really?
After midnight. Yeah.
Do these people not, this is what happens, you know, unfortunately, people, when you're all working from home and you're going to school from home, you lose track of time and you lose track of the ability to know that everyone should be in bed, you know, by midnight, but apparently not up in your part of town.
No, sir.
All right. No, okay.
We're still going.
Well, Dana, we have an exciting show ahead of us today, you know.
Okay.
This is something new, something different. I have a friend out there, Mikey K, as we call him, or Brick House. That's his new nickname. We'll explain that in another day, maybe.
Like from the song Brick House from the Commodore?
No. But I'm going to throw that at him. He will know the song. He is a musical genius on this stuff.
Okay.
But he's not in financial aid, but he listens to the podcast.
All right.
And so we were talking about it over the weekend because we were talking about some other things. And he's like, I really enjoy the show. It's because sometimes I don't understand anything you're saying. Sometimes it's easy. But sometimes I don't. You know, you'll say FISAP and FSEOG.
So the acronyms.
Acronyms, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, again, it's one of those things in our business that I know that when I do emails to people outside of our area or I'm talking to parents at a high school, I try to do my best to make sure I always explain exactly what those things mean when you get to them. So, you know, cost of attendance. EFC, all those things, you know, COA, FAFSA. And so it made me think we should do a show where I'm going to quiz Dana. And I know she's going to get like close to 100% on this.
Probably
without
not,
a doubt.
But
I think you'll be close.
I'll try my best.
Because you saw the answer key ahead of time on screen here. But
for like 2 seconds, you flashed it.
Yeah, I know.
Tease.
So
big tease, man.
Well, some of these are easy, and some of these you've been around just as long as I have with. So I'm going to give you the acronym. You'll see it on screen, Dana, because we're sharing screens here.
Okay.
And then you're going to tell me what it means. And when needed, we can go into a little more explanation for people as far as where you see it, where you get it, what does it mean, who created it, all that good stuff.
Okay.
So people might learn the financial aid process backwards by learning all the acronyms first. And then we'll go from there. So, Dana, I'm going to start you off easy.
Okay.
FAFSA. That's FAFSA.
Okay. So that is free application for student aid.
What do you say? Federal student aid?
All right. mean, if you want to get technical about
it. Because that's in there. I'm just telling you, free application for federal student aid.
There you go. Yes. All right.
So this is this is the form that comes out every October 1st for the next school year that students all have to fill out to apply for federal aid. And for most states, it's also used for the state aid programs. So states can get the results of the FAFSA. So that's easy one. Now I'm going to give you CADA, C-A-D-A-A.
Okay, so that is a California Dream Act application. It's for our AB 540 students.
That is right, yes. Yeah. So the state of California, because of the numbers of students who are undocumented, that's our AB 540 students. AB 540 was an acronym, not on the list, but for those who didn't know, AB 540 was a law passed about 20 years ago, maybe, that allowed undocumented students who met some other criteria, like graduating from high school, et cetera, to at least pay the in-state rate for tuition in the state at the public schools. And then, maybe about 2011, 2012, if I remember our first presentation on this, the state of California created their own application to allow our AB 540 eligible students to apply for state aid. Because if you're an undocumented student, even if you're DACA, you know, and DACA is the students who have the deferred action on them, you can't do the federal aid form. You can't do the FAFSA to apply for aid. You have to do something else. So states like California created the California Dream Act application. Now, the next one, Dana, here. So we've done FAFSA and CADA. Let's talk SAR, S-A-R.
Student Aid Report.
Correct. And what is a student aid report, Dana?
So after a student completes the FAFSA application, then this student aid report is sent physically. Basically, it's the student's application.
It's the results of their FAFSA.
Exactly. And it's sent to the student. They're able to keep it for their records. And actually, it's been a long time since I've seen one of these. But I think the student can also use it to submit corrections.
Yes, and they can.
Back to federal student aid. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, most students get an electronic version of it. They can print it if they want to. And if they don't include an email address when they're filling out their FAFSA, whether they fill out their FAFSA in a paper form or they fill it out online, most of the time they get an electronic version of it. But the paper one, and, you know, going back, Dana, you remember when the FAFSAs have been color coded. Like one, you know, it's like yellow one year, pink, blue, green. The results of the student aid report used to be in that color paper. So you get like five pieces of blue paper.
I think we are in blue right now. I think we are.
We might be. I forget where we are in the color cycle because paper FAFSAs are so hard to find.
Right.
You kind of have to print your own. Back in the olden days, they would print millions of these.
Yeah, you got to do the PDF version now.
Exactly.
You're gonna do it. Yeah.
Okay, student aid report, S-A-R. Here's a fun one. ICER.
I-S-I-R. Man, this is going to mess you up. I'm going to be honest with you. I know what it is, but I don't know what the acronym is.
Okay, ICER.
I want to say something along the lines of, again, something maybe like electronic or something.
It's close. So an ICER or I-S-I-R is the Institutional Student Information Record. So what this is the electronic version of the student's aid report that the colleges receive. So we call them ICERs because that's the records we get. So Dana Yarbrough fills out a FAFSA. She gets an email that tells her student aid report is ready to look at online. You have to log in. All the colleges that she listed on her FAFSA get the results electronically as an ICER record, we call it. So that's why internally we might say, oh, did we get the ICER for Dana Yarbrough yet? Because the students call in, they did their FAFSA, but and they got their results. Have we gotten it yet? And that's how we would know if we got your results. So that's where that comes from. Yeah, it's kind of an internal term when as soon as you say it to a student, you've blown the mask of cover of the Wizard of Oz.
It's looking behind the curtain.
Yes, yes. I'll give you a slightly easier one here. How about NSLDS?
National Student Loan Data System.
You got it. That's right. NSLDS, when it was first created many years ago, National Student Loan Data System, was a way for colleges and students at some point to be able to review their loan borrowing histories. But then they've also added Pell Grant and some other information out there. So now it's more like just a national student data system. But yeah, it's a website. There's access for us administrators that while we're working on student files, we can review all their Pell Grant usage, their loans, their loan statuses in case they're in default and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also for students, there's a student site that they can go to and review their same information.
Now, Dennis, has Federal Student Aid consolidated all these websites?
Yes, they have. To make it easier on students.
All-inclusive, yeah.
Yeah, now they just go to studentaid.gov. That's the home point for everything from starting a FAFSA every year, making corrections on your FAFSA, going to NSLDS. You log through here to get to that information. Also, as part of the FAFSA process, when you apply for federal aid, you, in a sense, create a credential for yourself, right? The Federal Student Aid ID, the FSA ID, as we call it.
Yeah.
And that FSA ID, to create it, or if you need to update your password to it or your username, yes, you go right through studentaid.gov. So, yeah, they've simplified it so we don't have to give you one of six different websites anymore, right? Go to FAFSA.gov. Go to FSAID.something. You know, yeah, it's so much easier this way. So good point on that. So NSLDS, yeah, I'm not going to give you the long name to find in it. How about COD or COD, as some of us call it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that stands for?
Let's see.
Common origination and disbursement.
And disbursement.
So some people call it the COD website.
Yeah.
Or the COD website. I guess it depends upon if you're into phishing. But it's a website used by administrators to check any type of federal aid that we're dispersing to students kind of gets routed through this website. So if I need to find out if we've dispersed Pell Grant for Dana as a student, I can go there. Or if I need to get my totals for number of students and dollars I've done in Pell Grant or federal student loans, it's all out there. So it's an internal website through the Department of Ed that we use on a regular basis. I don't know if you use it a lot, Dana, do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah,
okay. Do.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Let's do a couple more easy ones here before we get near our break. COA.
Ooh, cost of attendance.
Correct. Cost of attendance. Uh-huh. So COA, cost of attendance. It's one of those things that, you know, when you're talking to a student, I do this a lot at the high schools. I always say, you know, before a school can award a student financial aid, we have to know the starting point of what's it going to cost for the coming school year. So cost of attendance, and this is something students will hear from any college they apply for aid, is the estimated cost for the school year. Tuition and fees, books and supplies, room and board, personal costs like, you know, insurance costs and stuff like that, and then transportation. A school uses all those subcategories for their average student to come up with a total cost of attendance. So when you see those scary numbers out there, Dana, like $77,000 for one of our big schools down here, go Trojans, that's not just tuition, people. That's their total cost of attendance. Yes,
everything.
Yeah. Even our cost of attendance for our average student at a community college is probably about $14,000. But everyone knows it doesn't cost $14,000 to go to LA Mission College or Chabot College or College of the Redwoods or San Diego Mesa College. All of these are community colleges in California. But that's only because tuition's maybe 10% of that. The rest are all these other items that a college can take into consideration when trying to figure out the total cost for the year before they figure out how much aid a student can get. Because a student can get aid to cover potentially all of those related costs of going to school. Now, related to COA, because I skipped it right above it, EFC.
Expected family contribution.
That's right. This is another one of those common federal terms out there, right? That we're always telling students. So your EFC was this number. It's a number. And this is why you did or didn't get some kind of aid. So EFC, in a sense, is part of the results of a FAFSA. It's why we fill out a federal aid form. The federal aid form has a formula built into it that looks at your income and your assets and how many people in your household, and all that information. and tries to figure out what the expected amount the family could contribute for the coming school year. So high or low, that number gives us at the financial aid office and at the federal government an idea how much aid a student may qualify for. So EFC is a very important thing. And again, it's one of those things I know I talk about with the high school parents when it comes down to you've done the FAFSA and then they see their number. Especially it's always interesting with the parents that are higher income. And it's like, I don't know. What does this number mean? It's larger than the cost of school. Well, it's possible. That's possible. You know, again, because it's not pegged to COA at all. It's pegged to the family's ability to contribute. So right. It's always an interesting conversation to have sometimes with parents on that. But looks like, Dana, we only got a little way through our list. Let's take a little break and come back and do the rest.
All right. And welcome to our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
I had to cut the music to make sure everyone could hear. I'm going to have to re-pour that. I may have spilled some there, everybody.
Yeah.
There we go. Now we're back to it. All right, Dana. Let's see where we left off our today's show topic of acronyms. I'm going to give you a hard one here. I'm going to skip EFA.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not that common, but let's say LEU.
Okay. So Pell, LEU is, let me see, lifetime. Uh-oh. I need my second. My
eligibility.
Yeah, your lifetime eligibility usage.
Yes, or used. Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. So LEU, this is another fun term to try to explain to students, right?
That one's a hard one, a hard concept, I think.
Yeah, so 2012 was a popular year for a lot of financial aid work. So on the state level, we had the starting of the CADA, the California Dream Act application, and then also the federal government, because they were going through hard times, was doing all this budget constriction and other stuff like that. We were at a point where we used to have, in a sense, a student could have as many semesters of Pell Grant as they needed, you know, as long as they were still meeting academic standards and all at the school. And then at some point, they cut it down to 9 full-time years or 18 semesters. Mm-hmm. And then back in 2012, as they slowly were working their way, they put in 6 full-time years or 12 full-time semesters. And that, in a sense, is a student's LEU, their lifetime eligibility. And in a sense, a student would then be tracked by the federal government through that COD website. And for us, when they're getting close to that 6 full-time years. And so, you know, the federal government kind of made it easy. We call it 100% equals 1 full-time year. So in a sense, they have 600% LEU limit. So we'll know when they're in the 500% range and they're getting close to running out of Pell Grant, which students will do because there is no appeal process or anything. But LEU is, I guess, a new term that I don't even know if we, Dana, do we even use that word with them, or do we just say that they've used nearly all of their Pell eligibility?
I think we do use the official term, but then explain to them exactly what it is. So we do both, a combination of both.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering about that.
And then we do encourage them to look on NSLDS. Well, now the new
go through students, yeah.
Site. Yeah, to look at their percentage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they want to keep up on that. And again,
they should, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, 6 full-time years, again, for undergraduate, working on an associate into a bachelor's degree should be enough time.
Yes, But we have seen, unfortunately, students who exhaust their eligibility, though.
Oh, absolutely. It's
unfortunate, yeah.
Yeah, so we have to keep up on that. And this one ties into the next one on our list, SULA, S-U-L-A. Dana? Mm-hmm.
So I believe this one stands for subsidized usage.
I'll throw in the last two. Limit applies.
Limit applies. Okay.
Yeah, so SULA or subsidized usage limit applies.
Okay.
So the federal government, although there was other ways to do this, found the most complicated way possible, and I'm calling them out on it. Dana, that's the way it is, to try to track students who get subsidized student loans and how they should be limited to 150% of the length of their academic program. Keeping in mind that 150% allows a student to fail a few classes, switch a major, whatever. But that would be the, you know, the length of their program. Let's say it's 30 units. They could get a subsidized loan only for 45 units of study, 150% of their program. So they created this SULA thing that we had to track. And it was complicated. And there's numbers and all. And again, it's just another one that we hopefully probably never tell the word SULA, but we say you're getting close to your limit on subsidized loan. And what happens when they run out of that, Dana? I always forget.
So if you're running, that's it.
You're out of subsidized loan.
You're out of subsidized loan.
But you can get an unsubsidized loan where you're paying all the interest.
Everything, yes.
Yeah, so it gets complicated again.
Yes.
Let me give you some easy ones here. NASFA. How's NASFA?
Okay, National Association for Student Financial Aid Administrators.
Correct. That's our national association out there in Washington, D.C., fighting for us on the national level. Also, they may be the number one financial aid podcast out there, but we are slowly going to try to overtake them.
We're going to overtake them.
They don't know it, but we're coming. How about WASFA?
That's the Western Association. Yeah.
Have you ever done any training through them?
Yes. I believe I did. Oh, man. I have. Unfortunately, I just can't recall where I went.
Oh, you went to one of their like summer institutes, I think.
Yeah, Sister Dale. There we go. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, the Sister Dale Institute.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Fun times.
And
I remember
Tacoma.
We sent you and one other employee, right?
Another coworker. Yeah. In Tacoma for a whole week. It was awesome.
Like camp.
It actually was at camp.
Yeah, right.
Like, it was at camp because it was at it was at one of their universities.
Yeah, I forgot which one you went to.
I can't remember. I can't recall. Yeah. But it was fun and it's beautiful out there. Mm-hmm. Everything is like in HD.
Yeah,
it's like
right. HD. Everything's really, when they say green grass, they mean really green grass.
It is very green. Like
you might not see that here down in Southern California, but if you and those even in Northern California, they'll have the green trees of the forest up there. But you just need to cross over that border into Oregon and then maybe into Washington State and see what real green grass is like. Okay, Dana, that's WASFA. How about CASFA? CASFAA.
Oh, that's California.
California Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators.
Shout out to Miss Anfe.
That's right, the president there out at that school. Okay, we just got a few more here. Let's do some fast rounds here. FSEOG.
Oh man, that's our federal. Oh, Dana, come on, federal supplemental educational
opportunity grant.
Opportunity.
Yeah, grant. So it's got two alls in there. Federal supplemental educational opportunity grant. So this is a smaller federal grant for students usually who are qualified at the highest level of Pell Grant eligibility. How about this one? This one's been obviously been in the news since March. CARES.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what that stands for.
I didn't either exactly until I looked it up. Because CARES is the CARES Act that funded so many things across the federal government. It stands for Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security.
Nice.
Because out of that came HERF, which is a fun one, H-E-E-R-F. And that's the Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund. That was like the subpart of CARES Act that gave us money to give to students and to use on campus to help students and faculty, you know, transition to online learning. So sometimes people intermix, do you have CARES money at your campus or CARES emergency grants? Or did you get HERF funding? That's all tied together, everyone. Okay. How about, I think this is the one that probably drew us into creating this list today.
Okay.
FISAP. FISAP.
Dennis, all I know is if you don't get this report done, we don't get no money.
That's right. And because we were talking about reports, this is where my friend Mikey K was like, I know you had to do a lot of reports and stuff. And I didn't understand what you're talking about. So FISAP.
That's what I know. When I hear FISAP, I'm like, oh, man, Dennis got to do that report.
Yeah,
so we need some money.
It used to have a much longer name, but it's now known as the Fiscal Operations Report and Application to Participate. Because in a sense, it's both a report. It's us reporting out on our federal work study spending and our federal our FSEOG spending, and at the same time making application for the next school year for those funds. Because these are limited allocated funds that you can then use for your students. But you, in a sense, are reporting back the year that ended. You've already got money for the current year, but then you're asking for money for the next year. So, yeah, that FISAP report has to get done. I think today is the deadline when I was talking to somebody else to get the data in and get the signature in the mail.
We need them. Otherwise, we'd be in a lot of trouble, man.
Yeah. Well, we have so many more reports and things and acronyms, but we'll save them for later. We'll do like a second round someday. Okay. Let's take a little musical interlude before we move into the last part of the show. And just like that, we're back for the last part of the show, the last sip. So, Dana, get that last sip on here. I've been working you hard today here on names of acronyms and all, helping out.
No, but it's good. It's good. You got my brain going.
Yeah, I'll try to get this whole list out there to our show notes. So when you are downloading our podcast from wherever you are downloading it from, you can get all the great details. So, Dana, any I dare you to's for today?
You know, not for today. Maybe, hopefully, I'll have one for us on Friday.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah. And then hopefully we'll have an interview, too. I'm still working over some of our CISA exec board members who I really hope will join the show. They are sometimes like, well, I have nothing interesting to say. I'm like, no. We'll make it interesting. Make it interesting. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah.
But I've only got one then, and then we'll move right on to the end of the show and get people on with the rest of their days. I picked up this book I have yet to fully read, but it made me think about in these trying times how higher education may have to start looking at who's in our student body, how do we get students to college, and what are just in general some of the changing demographics across the U.S. And so the name of the book, nice enough, Demographics and the Demand for Higher Education by Nathan Graw. It's not a very thick book. You can see it's kind of so skinny right there, you know?
Yeah. How many pages is that, boss?
It is only about 160 pages, and I'm already into the notes page.
We can do that. We got that.
But it talks about, you know, all the different things that, you know, looking at, like demand for 2 years, 2 year programs in Chapter 5. National forecast. And boy, this doesn't look good at all. I'm going to show you the little chart there.
Oh, man.
See that big drop off there?
Yes, I do.
So like 2026 is our peak, and then it's all downhill from there. We'll go, 2 year college going students will kind of tank by then, according to this. But in particular, I know one of the interesting things I saw here that doesn't quite affect us out in California a lot was talk about like East Coast. How population shifting out of the East Coast, going south, Florida, stuff like that, may have some real big impact. Because, you know, you think of a state of like Massachusetts, you've got like hundreds of colleges up there. Some of them very small and all. But how are these colleges going to live through some of this upheaval? Mm-hmm. So it looks like it's going to be an interesting book. I'll put, again, information in the show notes for people to find that book. That's my I dare you to. Go read this book. Once I put it out there for you. But Dana, we've hit that point of the show again. We're at the end. So I want to thank you for joining us here on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank our audience out there for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, remember to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You'll find our Twitter handle on our homepage. So please follow us on Twitter.
And then for this and all future and past What's Brewing CISFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app, and we'll have a new logo soon. And you can also find our episodes at wbccisfa.podbean.com. That's wbccsfaaa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word.
Send us feedback about the show. If you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcsfa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of the creative one, Dana, and myself.
This has been episode number 34, recorded the morning of Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020.
Have a great day.
And hey, guys, have a great week.